Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we thank you that this morning that we can turn to your word and we can hear you speak. We can hear you tell us the good news that we long to hear. The good news of the Son of God who came into the world for us. Help us, Father, to hear this word this morning and to believe it and know it and feel it to be true. Use your words this morning, Father, to shape and fashion us in the likeness of your Son. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Monopoly is one of the most popular board games of all time. And there won't be many people this morning who haven't both experienced the absolute joys and the crushing misery of playing Monopoly. It all feels very random when you play. One moment you're landing and you're feeling that surge of joy as you land on a community chess space and you inherit 250 Monopoly pounds. But then the very next moment you feel the frustration of landing in prison. And there you cannot roll a six for love or money. There's the joy of buying your first hotel, and then the utter despair of landing on Park Lane and your sister has just bankrupted you for everything that you have. Something like 250 million copies of Monopoly have been sold since the game was invented. And I was also quite surprised to discover this week that something like 1,144 different versions of the game have been made. I'd always assumed that people in America had got to learn about Mayfair and Park Lane and the old Kent Road, but apparently they have a completely different set of places. And did you know that there's even a special Ipswich Town edition? And the Park Lane space in Ipswich is Portman Road, the home of Ipswich Town Football Club. Now, I think one of the reasons why Monopoly is so popular, because it isn't really fun. It's just because of how the ups and downs of Monopoly, the wild swings, the total random things which happen to you over the course of 3 hours of playing it, can feel rather like the ups and downs of life. Because life in this world is filled with so many good things. From the joy of family and church, to the accomplishment of getting the grades that you deserve. Just that simple morning satisfaction of a decent cup of tea. And that's before we consider the beauty of a sunrise or the sight of daffodils popping up in the spring. But as good and as wonderful as this world is, we also know that it's broken. And as we've seen, as we've been seeing over the last few weeks in Romans chapter 8, we live in a world where creation is groaning with diseases and famine. We live in a world where we get sick, where we can be worried about making ends meet, where loved ones pass away before their time. We live in a world where so often injustice reigns. We live in a world where we need prisons and police. Our world is so wonderful, but as we know, as we experience it, it's also bruised and broken. But this morning, as we continue our series in Romans chapter 8, we're going to hear about how God is working through all the ups and through all the downs of life. We're going to hear about the wonderful promises that God makes to us. And we're going to hear about why God is so concerned for our good. So if you've got a Bible there with you this morning, it'd be wonderful if you could turn with me once more to Romans chapter 8. And this morning we're going to be focusing on Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 to 30. And God says to us, in fact, God speaks to you this morning, and he says through these ancient words of the Apostle Paul, and he says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Well, we're going to begin together this morning by seeing that God will bring you through the ups and downs of life. God will bring you through all the ups and downs of life. And we especially see this in verse 28 at the start of our little passage, and in verse 30 at the end. Now, verse 28 is possibly one of the most famous verses in the Bible. And it's not hard to see why. Paul says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Now, parents want the best for their children, or they should anyway. They want to see their children being happy and healthy. They want to see them doing the best that they can. And when you're 5 years old, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat for tea. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to have a packed lunch on Wednesday. You don't need to worry about what clothes you're going to wear or how you're going to get to school. Because when you're five, your parents take care of all those details for you. They work behind the scenes for your good. Similarly, God promises here that he's working for the good of his children. Paul has already told us in this incredible chapter that if you're a Christian, if you've asked God to forgive you for all your sin, and if you believe that Jesus Christ has died for you, then you're adopted into God's family. You can now call God your Father in heaven. And you become one of Jesus's adopted brothers and sisters. And just as human parents work for the good of their children, our Heavenly Father, who is much, much, much more perfect than we are, he is working for the good of his children. He is working for the good of those who love him. But our God isn't just a human parent. Our God is the Lord of the universe. And God uses all of his powers for our good. So behind the scenes of every blessing, and behind the scenes of every trial, behind the good and the bad and the indifferent, God is working everything. God is working all things for our good. Even if we can't see how it could possibly help. Paul goes further in verse 28. And he anchors this promise that God makes. He anchors this promise in God's purposes. In God's incredible eternal plans. Paul says that Christians have been called. That is, that we've been chosen by God in some mysterious way. And in verse 30, Paul drills down into God's purposes for the Christian. Paul says, "For those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." And this sentence is sometimes called the unbreakable chain, because it anchors the promises that God has made to us to work all things for our good in God's plans before there was even a universe to exist. You see, if you're a Christian, it might feel like there was a time in your life when you decided to follow Jesus, or you gradually came to faith in him. But Paul is telling us that behind the scenes, God has been working to choose you to be his child, even before the first star was formed. You see, God predestined you. He chose you to be his child. God called you. He made sure that at just the right moment you heard the good news of the gospel and you believed it. You knew it to be true. God justified you. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, he chose to forgive you your sins. And instead, he chose to count everything good that Jesus had ever done to you. God glorified you. Now, this one is a bit funny because this one hasn't happened yet. But Paul knows that it is so certain that he speaks about it as something that has happened in the past. Because God promises to get you to glory. He promises to bring you into his kingdom, into a new heavens and a new earth. And he promises to get you there. It's an unbreakable chain. This is not just a promise of God, but this is God working all things for your good. God has been working from before the world began. God has been working everything in your life to bring you to faith. God has worked in Jesus to forgive you. And God is working today to bring you home, to bring you to glory. God doesn't promise in verse 28 that everything is going to be rosy in this life, that somehow you're going to end up better off in this world. Your Father in heaven promises you something so, so much better. He promises to bring you home. He promises to keep your faith through all the ups and through all the downs of life. If you are God's child, if you are a Christian, then you can be completely and utterly confident that the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord Almighty himself, is going to get you to glory. Now, right in the middle of our passage this morning, in verse 29, there are two tremendous surprises. Because verse 29 contains two staggering truths. And if we're not careful, I think we could actually overlook them. We could go straight from verse 28 to verse 30. But we need to pay attention. Because in verse 29, God explains through Paul what he is doing for us in all those ups and in all those downs of life. And the first surprise that we see in the first half of verse 29 is this. God uses the ups and downs of life to make you more like Jesus. To make you more like Jesus. Now, I think it's very easy for us to take the first verse of our passage out of context, to take verse 28 out of context, and maybe put it on a tea towel or put it on a nice greeting card. But if we're not careful, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 can start to sound a bit like a Christian version of keep calm and carry on. Because somehow God is working for your good. But Paul tells us here in verse 29 that God has predestined us. He has predestined Christians. He has predestined you to become like Jesus. That means that before you were born, in fact, before your parents had even met, before the universe itself had even existed, God decided to make you like Jesus. And that's true for every single Christian. And that work of making us like Jesus is going to be finished. When either we die and we go to glory to be with Jesus, or when Jesus returns, whichever happens first. But in the meantime, the Spirit who is living within us, the Spirit is working. As we've seen over the recent weeks in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit is working in us to make us more like Jesus. And so God is going to use all of life. All of life as part of his plan, as part of his work, to make you like Jesus. God is going to use those ups of life, And he's going to use the downs as well. For whether you're going up or whether you're going down, all things, everything, every challenge, every blessing, every day, every week, every person you meet, every Sunday service, every car journey, every trip to the office, every visit to the hospital, God is using all things as part of his plan to make you more like Jesus. God never promises to fix our problems. He doesn't promise us a life of comfort. He doesn't promise to make every situation in this life work out here on earth. But he does promise that he will use that blessing, that he will use that hurt, but he will use everything in the whole universe as part of his plan to make you more and more like Jesus. God uses the ups and the downs of life to make you more like Jesus. And here's the second surprise. And I think it's perhaps the biggest of the two surprises. Because God's goal in our lives is not just to make us more like Jesus. God's goal in our lives is to glorify Jesus. And we see this in the second half of verse 29. Now I think the second half of verse 29, I think it sort of sticks out in this passage a bit like a sore thumb. It's a little bit awkward when you're reading it. Because at first glance it doesn't seem to fit. But it is so, so important. Paul says, "For we are to be predestined, for we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Why? "That Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Because Paul has gone from talking about suffering to talking in verse 28 about how God is going to get us home, how he's going to make us more like his Son. And then Paul tells us why he's doing this. And it's not because we're wonderful. It's not because we're so important. It's because of Jesus. It's because God has promised to give Jesus the glory that he deserves. And Jesus is going to get that glory by there being many, 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 many Christians who are Jesus' brothers and sisters. You see, the more people there are who are rescued from their sin by Jesus, the more people who come into God's family because of Jesus, the more people who the Spirit helps through all the ups and downs of life, the more glory there is going to be for Jesus on that final day. Because every single Christian will only be able to stand before God, will only be able to stand there because of Jesus. Because everything that we have comes from our Saviour. God's goal in our lives is to glorify Jesus. And that's hugely reassuring for us. Because we live in a culture that wants to make everything about us. Everything about us as an individual. Everything about our feelings, about our desires, about our dreams. But when it comes to salvation, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Because Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is God. And there is no one who is more worthy, there is no one who deserves more glory than the Creator himself, who came to earth for us. And because Jesus deserves glory, and God has decided that one of the ways that his Son is going to get that glory is through a bigger and bigger and bigger family, that means that God is doubly sure to keep his promises. Our salvation, our ability to get through all the bumps, all the ups and downs of life, doesn't come down to us. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how obedient we are, how close we feel to God. What it comes down to is Jesus. God has promised to save us, to bring us into his family because of Jesus. And he's going to get you to the end. No matter what is round the corner, no matter what good or even what bad thing happens this week or next month or next year. If you're a Christian, then God has chosen you to be one of his children. And he has called you and he has justified you and he will glorify you. Because above everything, it's about Jesus. He is our Savior, he is our God, and he will be glorified in us. Life is full of ups and downs. And sometimes it can just feel like a game of Monopoly, a game of chance when one hard thing follows another and another and another, and then something good happens. But for Christians, for us who have been adopted as God's children, we know it's not random. Because our God is working behind it all, through the ups and the downs. God is working for our good. He's making us more like the Lord Jesus, and he's doing it for his glory. As Paul says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these incredible verses of comfort, that you are working for our good. Father, we pray that you would work to make us more like the Lord Jesus, that we would be able to trust you with the blessings and the trials of life, that you would be working by your Spirit to glorify us as we become more like your Son. But Father, we ask that you would work because of Jesus, that you would work to glorify him who deserves glory above all else. And Father, help us to glorify and enjoy him in our own lives, no matter what tomorrow or next week or the week after has in store. And we ask these things in Christ's name.